again. Money makes the world go round, world go round, world go round. Money makes the world go round. Is that what that goes? Is that how that song goes there, friends? You know? Yeah, it is money, I guess. When I think of money myself, I think typically of greed. I think of, people do, I see people do all kinds of things for money. But imagine, money is one of those necessary evils you have to have here on planet Earth. No matter what your intentions are, you certainly can't live without it, can you now, right? So basically, let's say you amass all these dollars and you're fortunate enough to amass some serious dollars in your lifetime, right? So what do you do with that money? You can't, you know, the old saying too, my parents used to say that all the time to me, you can't take it with you. I heard that so many times over the years, you can't take it with you. And I thought, well, I guess you really can't. I mean, the kings and pharaohs tried that stuff back there in the ancient Egypt. You know, they tried to bury all their possessions in their tombs and caskets and what have you. And I often thought about that as a young lad. I said, well, what would, you know, if you put that stuff in there, where does it go? Well, it don't go anywhere because objects and items just kind of stay here, don't they now? They don't kind of float with our energy and where we go thereafter. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, what a heavy way to start this conversation, huh? Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. So we're talking about legacy today, dollars, money, people who've amassed a lot of money. You know, there are a lot of billionaires out there, and let's even break it down. There's even some thousandaires. We keep it real simple, right, folks? So it could be some thousandaires, too. On the show here today, our co-host Susan Price is here. Susan is a patriot. She's an investigative researcher. She's a veteran advocate, Gold Star mother, advocate for justice. And this idea today of billionaires' wealth and millionaires and money and what's going on and where's this money and wealth going around the world is all her scheme here. So if the show is brilliant today, we'll give all the credit to Susan. If it's not, we'll blame her entirely. Okay, Susan? Exactly.
You got that right.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, listen, just putting it out where it needs to be here. Also joining us is Dr. Faye Wilson. Dr. Faye is an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, underdog advocate, and she says, I'll tell you what, I can do plenty of stuff with that money, Susan. Just send it on over and I'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I can hear Dr. Faye in my ear already. She's saying, don't you worry, girl. I got your back here. So send a couple of those billionaires over to me. And Linda Martinelli. Linda is an entrepreneur, owner, president of Performant Graphic Print Source, and she is, Linda is an entrepreneur. She likes the capitalistic market. She likes what this whole thing is about, dollars, and I think a lot of us do, Linda. So I think, you know, it is kind of a balance of life, Linda. But the thing about you, Linda, too, is you seem to have that balance down really well. You kind of should be the envy of most people in the business community, I'm saying, that either work too hard or play too hard. It's trying to find that happy medium in life, isn't it, ladies? You know,
it is.
I used to say, as a young man, Linda, I used to say, work hard, play hard, you know, kind of thing. And people said, what the hell does that mean? Well, in my world, it means that when I'm out of here, I'm out of here. Don't call me or don't bother me, you know. So, okay, I got it, Malcolm. Anyways, that's in the corporate world. That's what I used to tell them. You know, it's funny, Susan, in the corporate world, when you're trying to accomplish these things in the boardroom, right, Susan? So there's this whole thing you hear in the corporate settings like open door policy, right? Open door policy. They say, well, I got an open door policy. So my door's always open. You can come in and tell me anything you want. And I studied that. Yeah, Susan, I studied that over the years, you know, this open door policy. And I said, This is the lamest thing they ever came up with. I said, people, I got no open door policy here. My door shut, stay the hell away and don't bother me. Okay, you got it? And they said to me, what are you talking about? I said, I'm the opposite of open door policy. I got a closed door policy. Move it along. Don't bother me. I got stuff to do here. They say, okay, I got it. Well, the point, Susan, is I'd never get anything done if I had an open door policy. Because one thing you find in the corporate setting, everybody brings you their problems. And then you never can amass those billions of dollars, can you now? You know, that you want to amass. So, well, let's get into this show here about money making the world go round. As I give you a little bit of what, now you know what my mother did with the money for the singing lessons as well up front here. So at least we got that out of the way as well. Yeah. I always thought, ladies, I could be a star singer. You all have that ambition sometime. You say, oh, I can do that. I can get up there and sing like that and entertain the masses. Yeah, yeah, really, huh? I guess it takes a trained voice of some sort maybe to do that. Well, wealth transfer, we talk about here. We talk about dollars, billionaires. Susan, in your research in this topic, and you look at people who have money, let me ask you this, and this is a really great starting point to this conversation. What right. is it that people do, like those who have money, those who don't have money, how does money change one's life? Because Linda had mentioned coming on here, well, a lot of these cats, these billionaires, look like they live to a ripe old age. Now, did money help them live longer? Can you buy niceties more in because you have the wealth? I'm just wondering, what's the difference you see in the lifestyle between people who have money and people who don't?
Oh, definitely, Malcolm. I truly believe that using the tool of money makes life a lot easier because you can afford to get the necessities that help you to live longer, be happier. You can pay people, put them in positions to assist you with whatever business endeavor you're involved with. And let me tell you, I thought that this was a really astounding article from Forbes, finding out that there's over 2,208 billionaires with the worth of $9.1
trillion. Wow.
And from 72 countries. And America leads with 585 billionaires just from the United States of America.
Oh, so 25%.
And followed by China. That's right. Followed by China with 373. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I just thought it was interesting because there's the haves and the have-nots on this earth. And, you know, and I think about if I had that kind of money, there'd be less have-nots because I would just want to give and support and get these people off the streets. But, you know,
we
not
say
everybody
that. We
thinks
say
that.
That
way.
A lot of people say that. Like when they are not, when they don't have all those dollars. But then when people have those dollars, Susan, it seems to change. They don't always look at it the same way. I don't know about, you know, off the streets and money helping people. It's like people who win the lottery. That's kind of funny money is what I call that, you know, the lottery thing, you know. And their life sort of changes, but it doesn't change like they think it would. Sometimes you hear those stories and they really get pretty bad and corrupt. That's interesting. Let's stay. There's a point you just made that hits a nerve with me. Susan, you talk about the haves and the have-nots, okay? Now, I'm thinking of Dr. Faye, who promotes herself and talks about the fact that she's an underdog advocate. When I think underdog advocate, I'm thinking as well that, you know, these are people that are less fortunate. Now, what does less fortunate mean? I mean, that can mean a lot of things. But stay on that just a moment, and then I want to go to Dr. Faye on this topic. But let's stay with the haves and have-nots. That's a big problem in our country alone right now. It's a big talking point around the world, actually, is you keep hearing the phrase the 1% versus, you know, the rest of us kind of thing, you know. Is that a problem? Speak to me honestly, because you know, you're a conservative voice. You have certain principles. You understand the world, how it works. So is that a problem, this 1% where all the wealth and money is versus the rest?
It's only a problem in the way that we think, in the way that we're taught about money. Sadly, in our educational system, there's no curriculum that help people to understand money. So when you understand it, many times you're already broke. You're already in dire straits. You don't know. We have homeless attorneys, homeless doctors, homeless people who have degrees, who are well educated. They're not ignorant people, but they didn't understand the principles of money. And because of that, we will always have people. And Jesus said this, you're going to always have the poor. He just didn't tell me I had to be one of those. We can choose to to be educated. We can choose when we find out that there are other ways to do things and to live life. We can choose to Google. We can choose to listen to programs like this to be educated so that we can become astute in our financial dealings. And I think that's what has hurt a lot of us, is because we were not given the proper education, and therefore ended up, many people end up in poverty because they don't know what the purpose of money is and how to use it wisely. And did I answer your question, or did I create another one?
Yeah, well, that really is a focus, is the young people in homes, and that really gets to a lot of the urban cities as well that are really struggling. It really does come down to education. Many of these people are not having the proper access to proper education. And without being informed and being, back to you say, astute, but just being informed on the basic levels, I mean, and quite frankly, ladies, and you know, education is a tricky word as well, because, you know, you can go into the universities today, and there are so many, you know, ignorant people in the universities, the students, that they don't even know basic stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. they don't even know basic mm-hmm. things. That's exactly. been proven time again. So that mm-hmm. doesn't even guarantee you to be intelligent, smart, to really understand and have a right. wherewithal, even right. that part of it. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about, and we'll come back to this here a minute, but let's get Linda involved in this conversation too, about the haves and the have-nots. I want to stay there a moment as we kind of circle this whole thing about a transfer in wealth and legacy of dollars. You know, you hear a lot out there about the 1%, Linda. You hear a lot about people that are less fortunate, people that are not making it. And that this is a very divisive conversation, actually, in the country, and not just here, around the world, but let's speak about this country. It's a very divisive conversation. People, there's a jealousy kind of thing, and people sort of put, it's just like doctors, typically doctors who have to go through an enormous amount of education and smarts to get the degree to be able to try and make money, and there are, I know a lot of people who kind of begrudge them of that and say, well, he thinks his shit doesn't, I mean, oh, excuse me, his something doesn't stink, you know? I meant to say something, not the word, apologize. But in any event, I said the wrong S word and not the other S word. Isn't that funny how your mind is, kid, people, you know? So Linda, so pick up on that a moment, please, and you see where I'm at?
Yeah, I do. And you know, let me just go back real quick, and then I'll address that. So, what Susan said about the health care and so forth, about these, the billionaires, the 26 that died this year, most of them being, I mean, really very elderly, up to 101 years old. I was amazed by that. And when you talk about why that is, I do think that having money allows you to get the best health care and allows you to have, you know, your own personal physician come to your house, so that you prevent a lot of things that would happen to the average person. So I do think having money certainly helps that, especially with the health care that we have now. As far as the 1%, you know, I look at the list of people, the people that passed, and I look at the list of the new billionaires, you know, the Google people and the Facebook people and so forth. And it's so varied, Malcolm. These are not people that had education necessarily. A lot of these guys developed these things and dropped out of college, they dropped out of school. This has to do with what kind of mind somebody has. And God didn't give everybody the same kind of mind. So there's all kinds of factors involved here. And it's not that these people are all selfish, greedy people. They had an idea and they made it happen. And people are on earth are always going to be different one from the other. There always is going to be haves and have nots, unless we make a system where, like they just did in Saudi Arabia, which we can talk about in a bit. But as long as we have a system where you can earn money and keep your money, these people, they make foundations. They do give money, some more than others and some less than others. But you're never going to have a system where, unless we just take everybody's money and parse it out equally, it's never going to be that way. And even if you do that, people don't know how to use their money. As Dr. Faye said, they don't know how to handle money. A lot of people don't even know how to balance a checkbook. I mean, it's incredible, because so schools don't teach these things.
True.
You know, back
Definitely.
In my Yeah, in my day, we had home ec, and we learned mm-hmm. how to do some of these
right.
things.
Right.
They don't have this anymore. Right. So people don't know how to handle money, and it's just never going to be equal. I don't begrudge any of these billionaires a dime of their money unless they got it, you know, in some unethical way. But when you look at the list of how people get their money, it's pretty interesting. It's varied. And, you know, kudos to them.
Yeah, you know, we look at this, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Linda, because the new millionaires, the new billionaires, there's a new breed, new generation of money. And this new generation of money, we would not know about them except for social media, because now we have all this access. We would not know there's 2,200 billionaires in the world, except we would be able to research it through Google or Bing or something. And all of this money that is now floating is new money. There's old money, and then there's new money. And this new money right. that has come into focus now are people with such heart. I think about Bill Gates, and I think about Warren Buffett, and I think about people with heart who've created foundations. And you think about Gates and Buffett, who have openly said and have committed to giving away half of their money. And they are actively involved in doing that, and they are looking for good causes to actually fund education, fund Bill Gates funding resources for children in compromised neighborhoods so that they can have access to computers. They've been doing that, Bill and Melinda Gates, for many, many years. So there's new money that's floating. And I think what is happening is that it is leaving us without excuse. We all can contribute. We all have a mind, and we need to dig a little deeper, to work a little harder, like Malcolm, and do a little bit more.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. Well said. I think, Susan, I want you to think about this. With all of the research, again, you've done in looking at all of this, the way Dr. Fay puts it out there about old money and new money. Now, part of the research you've done with this, and then the article you actually have on America Out Loud, when it comes to old money and the billionaires and what they're doing with that money, when we come back here a moment, I'd like you to opine on that a bit here with this old money. What do you think happens to it? I mean, where does it? How does it change the world, if it does at all? And why are so many, wealthy people? It seems like there's been a record amount of them dying off here this past year. Maybe there's a couple of questions you can shed some light on in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, friends, we are back here on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure here. And as you know, I posed to Susan Price those questions there. Susan, let's talk about some of this heavy research, because you've dug down here and looked at all of this with all of this old money, as Dr. Fay puts it out there, old money, new money. So what do you think about all this old money? How does it change things here? And then the other thing is, What do you account all of this this wealth transfer that's going to happen? Why have so many people with money? Why does it seem to have been so many record deaths over the past year?
Well, from what I've seen with this old money, these people, these dinosaurs, as I call them, have sat on it, and it's almost been like a ritual to follow a path within a family lineage. And you know, for every generation, they carry on the same traditions. And these people are living long, almost 100, 101 years old. And of course, they're all dying off, because a lot of them came from that period of time where they were inventing and creating everything that works in America, all corporate America, everything from real estate and development to big pharma, drugs, communications, all the industries that have blossomed and boomed. But now, you know, they're dying off, and we're also seeing a change in traditions, because we also have now social media, and everything's computerized and artificial intelligence. And I mean, you just look at a 2 and a 3-year-old. They know how to turn on a cell phone and play with it. It's, their minds are, it's just really crazy how we ourselves as a human being transform with those traditions and cultures. Our culture's constantly changing. And so I think that with the new money, you're going to see us move into total, everything is more robotic and artificial intelligence. So these new generations, there's no telling where it's going to take us, because a lot of things haven't been developed yet and created. They're the ones that are going to change that culture around and use that money to create and reinvent their lineage.
The human race is going to get, it's going to begin to get on a faster pace now. If you think we accomplished a lot in the last 50 years, which we have, you think back 100 years ago, friends, I mean, you didn't have phones, you didn't have cell phones, television, cars, all this stuff. This has only been 100 years. So much has happened in the past 100 years, you know? And so when you think of that, and you think of 100 years from now, I would imagine we're going to be on warp speed here, technologically. People are going to live longer, other things are going to happen. But that money is probably going to be put to use, Susan, for other things, because I don't see the kids and the grandkids sticking that money under the mattress or, you know, worrying about it. They're a different mindset. Yeah, you agree.
Right. Yeah, they are. And as the old die off and that culture dies off, it's diversified with the young minds coming in. And it's like you said, Malcolm, it's going to be very fast paced, and you see it. I see it just with my own grandchildren. And I mean, I'm not a billionaire, but I just see the mindset, you know. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
Well, I feel
what
like
happens.
I feel like on any given day, a billionaire with love and desire and interest and all of that rubbish, Susan. Yeah. You know, when people say that to you, just don't you get just sick to your stomach, Linda Martinelli? They say, oh, yeah, money's not. Yeah, I'm wealthy and all of this stuff. And Dr. Faye's saying, yeah.
Malcolm, what's interesting here on this list, on the list of the people that passed last year, the billionaires, what they made their money in was, you know, as Susan said, things like shoes, retail. Lillian Betancourt was L'Oreal, automobiles, construction. The current list of world's billionaires is Amazon, Microsoft, Berkshire Hathaway, Facebook. Just completely different dynamic happening here, which is fascinating
just
to me.
Just backs up what I just told you, Linda.
I used to live in Newport Beach, and in Newport Beach they have areas of the old money and the new money, and they kind of don't get along with each other. It's really interesting. And you have a lot of the old money families that are, you know, you have the kids living off the parents' wealth. So maybe the parents have passed and left them money, and they just hang out every day. And then you have the new ones, which are actually making money right now. So it's kind of a different world. It wasn't my world, and I left there. I went to live on a ranch, but
well, Linda, a lot of the people that you're, let me say to you this, a lot of the people that you're speaking about in that situation, quite frankly, and I know for facts, these people are void of character. They're void. They're void of so much. It brings me to thinking, ladies, you see this big news story that just surfaced again in the last many days. It's been a hot story over the past year, is that young kid Couch, the young boy there, who went, him and his mother went off to Mexico And they called him, the court actually, like, he killed people with a DUI. I think it was four people murdered,
right.
I believe. Yeah. Basically, because he was warned time again, and his money, he was just a sloppy little kid. And his, the judge basically let him off on the basis they called it affluenza. I mean, and that became a laughing stock all over the place. Like, you're joking me, right? Affluenza? I mean, this is like a real disease, you know? I said, I'm telling you now, ladies, if affluenza is a disease, I wish the hell they'd give it to me. If that's a disease, but that's what they labeled this kid with, as affluenza. And of course, he had no principles. He was void of principles. He was void of character. He was void of working. He was void of it. But, you know, if you just keep feeding a frog, you know, calories and calories, they just get fat and happy. And they're pretty stupid at that point, Linda.
Right. He ran to Mexico and then he served 2 years and they just let him out for killing four people and evading arrest.
He got very light. Yeah, he didn't get hardly anything. The mother was, she was brought up on charges as well. He just got out and the mother was just arrested for some other, these are people with wealth that don't know what the hell to do with it. I mean, clearly.
Well, and Malcolm, I wanted to add to that too, and that's case in point. And a lot of the problems that we've seen in America here in this globalization plan, a lot of these very extreme wealthy people, their families are doing business with over 120 different countries around the world. So their mindset is to globalize everything. That's the world they grew up in. That's their culture. It's in their DNA. That's the way they see that the rest of us, 99%, should live like the 1% that they do, and void of a moral compass, if you will, and many fronts. Anything goes with these people. So I just wanted to bring that up, and that's part of what's being, and the takedown as well President Trump. He's going after, and I've included a list also of many, CEOs and people of owners of big companies retired and
sure. You know, I want you all to think about this. I want you to think about this, please. And more toward in the next chapter of this conversation, I want to put you on the spot and let's tell folks now. And so let's say for real that you got a phone call and Bill Gates called you and he was giving you $1 billion to spend accordingly. You had to do something with it that was justifiable. I mean, you couldn't go spend it on drugs, narcotics, or, put it up your nose or something, you know. But you had $1 billion. And so think about that. And what would you do with that $1 billion? So if this really came to you and you needed the dollars, I mean, I'm talking about just in the simple things of life. Maybe it's a house, a car, the grandkids, the family, the stuff, you know, the personal necessities. Well, of course, $1 billion goes a lot further than personal necessities. So what else would you do with those dollars? So, you know, think about that. We'll come back to that question, but I think it's an interesting question to throw out there. And I'll tell you what I'll do, what I do with $1 billion, and I'm still working on making that billion, ladies. So when I get there, you know, and hopefully I'm not as old as those cats are, Linda, when that happens. But I hope to still be young and handsome and have women chasing me around and everything else. You can see how that looks, right? So, Dr. Fay, now you see I was just a bad boy with what I said. Now, come on, pick it up there. Reprimand me. Go ahead, reprimand me. Take the magazine or the newspaper, roll it in your hand, and beat me over the head. Go ahead.
I have it in my hand.
I can feel it. I can feel it right on the back. Oh, man.
To me, the legacy of these people, when I look at the companies that they built, look at how many people that they have employed, that they have raised their lifestyles by their efforts. And we forget that these people built these empires. And yes, they built a lot of money, but they also built a lot of wealth for a lot of other people. And you do have some really good kids of these wealthy people, at least the ones that have died. We have a lot of good relatives of theirs that are taking over the company. So I'm sure that some have their loser kids as well, but there really are some good families here.
So they all don't have affluenza, you're saying?
No, no, they don't all have affluenza, and that judge should be slapped upside the head for making her ruling on that. That's a ridiculous ruling.
Linda, but that's called violence. You can't slap the judge physically, honey. You can do a lot of right, Dr. Fay, right?
Right. That's right. Then, yeah, and then you go to jail.
Exactly. A virtual slap. Yeah.
That's all right. You can do it theoretically.
That just shows you the bad side of what money can do. It can be abusive. And And it is used many times in cases, and it hasn't been talked about. That just happens to be one that hit the news.
Yeah. Which one? The affluenza one, you mean?
Yes, that one.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of that out there. Yeah, you're right. That one just got into the, well, it, because it was so, you know, it was just over the top when the judge said, you know, affluenza. When that came out and they called it was because of the money thing. Well, they didn't exactly say the word affluenza, but that's what it was all labeled. Because the judge said this kid was just, you know, in an incapacitated state of his mind because he only knew money. That's like I said, if you have a fat frog and you just keep feeding the frog, it doesn't know any different. In fact, that frog will never hunt for food. It'll die right there. So this is the same thing with all of us. You take some kids and you just keep, you know, money is no object. Well, what kind of, I mean, it's not possible for that person to have any character. They're going to be void of a lot of stuff. So you have to go through these ups and downs in life to be able to experience life in its fullest capacity, to be able to have any sense of ability to know what money is. And quite frankly, those people who never had it, who get it, I mean, hopefully there's a sense of appreciation because, you know, again, money does buy a lot of the niceties that you need in life, whatever it may be. And it does take you
character.
Out of poverty.
Right. Money doesn't buy you character. So either you have it or you don't. And if you have it to start with, you're going to keep it as you amass money and you're going to do the right things. If you have no character to start with and you amass money, you're going to get into drugs or you're going to get do whatever, party it away or whatever you do. Yeah. But money's not a solution to anything in and of itself.
No. Yeah, it amplifies who you are.
It amplifies. Yeah. That's a great way to say it, Faye. Yeah. It amplifies who you are.
And so the legacy that you leave behind, the legacy of your purpose, that's the only thing that you take with you when you're gone is what you leave behind. And I had that quote in there by John Elston because it's true. People remember you by what purpose you served when you were here. And good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen it through the years with various characters.
Let me talk about that, Susan, with you a moment, please, when we talk about legacy, okay? That word means a lot of things to a lot of people. When you look at these billionaires and millionaires, and as Linda was saying, the wealth they're leaving to the kids, hopefully they'll do the right things with it. And as you say, they'll invest in, you know, more technology-driven stuff. We're going to progress more. The human race will progress a lot more in the next 100 years than it even did in the last 100 years. It just begins to speed up everything. Smarter, faster, quicker, you know, you live longer, you do this, you do that. It's just all happening. It's a really exciting time to be alive, actually, compared to living back in the stagecoach era, you know, where you didn't have all of this, you know, but of course they thought just running water coming through a faucet was probably a revolutionary idea. I mean, because you didn't have that before either. Imagine when they first put toilets in the houses, ladies. I mean, you never had that before. You had to go out in the outhouses.
There's
I
was just going to say, there's been a lot that's been invented and created just in the last 100 years.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I've been saying, love, is that we've done so much in the past 100 years. And you think about the fact, like I say, at one point there wasn't even toilets. There wasn't even running water through the faucets.
I don't want to think about that.
Exactly. Well, imagine, Faye, when there was no electricity.
No toilet paper. Oh, gosh.
Well, imagine when there was no electricity and you didn't have a light bulb to turn on. There was no switch, let alone anything else, right? I mean, then you had to plan your world around the darkness because you couldn't see at night. So darkness was really
candles,
dark.
Right?
Skittles? What?
Candles.
Candles, yeah.
Not Skittles.
He's going to say, you're eating Skittles by the candles. Is that it, Linda Martinelli? I knew it. Yeah, Skittles by the candles. There it is right there. So
no mouth.
Yeah. So having said all of that, it is interesting. You know, I want to share a story real fast with you three, because I just adore each of you and our listeners as well, before we pause here. And let me tell you this. So growing up as a young lad, ladies, my mom was the kind of mom, and you'll all appreciate this, that my mom was the kind of person that could sit with anybody. So my mother had that unique talent. It's where I got it from, actually, was mom. She could sit with the Pope, the mayor, the governor, the president, the butcher, the whoever. She could also sit with Joe's Body Shop down the road, Pete's Grill and Bar, or the homeless man walking up. And you know, one thing about my mother, she treated them all the same. That just was who mom was. And so money never changed her perspective in life. You know, she just had this thing about people. And that's how she treated. So people were a priority for her. But many times I think my mother got to, what she didn't like is when people were standoffish. So back to wealth, as you were talking about, Linda, a bit ago, and money. And, you know, she didn't like people, you know, well, people who thought they were better than other people. She didn't
pompous.
Like that. What's that?
Pompous.
She did. That's the one thing she would rally against, Linda. She did not do well with that topic at all. She just, you were never going to insult her in that way, because she just wasn't going to have it. But that's kind of, so my home growing up as a young lad was, and it was to a crazy point, like Sunday, with church and Sunday dinner, you never knew who was at the Sunday table for dinner. Well, mom used to have people here and there, whatever, and she would literally drive us crazy. When I say crazy, I was one of seven. So there were always people at the dinner table. And quite frankly, we got finally said, oh my God, who is this? Like, mom would always pull people in. We'd have more people there, relatives, people hanging off the chandeliers, you know? And of course, we were middle class, probably lower middle class family, you know, work hard, that kind of blue collar, you know. And but it was funny how that was, how there was always people. And it got to a point where we were happy to have the peace and quiet sometime without having, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Stranger at dinner. But that's how mom was. She invited anybody at any time in. It was really, really unique. But she had an appreciation for people. And I think what I take from that, you know, Dr. Fay, a lot of the times when you and I are speaking privately, whether it's on or off mic, we talk about humanity, we talk about the world, we have some very interesting conversations, of course, And, you know, we know where the hearts and the minds are here on the network and what we're doing. But you see, what I'm saying to you, I guess, today, which I have never told you this before, that a lot of that internal philosophical belief structure in me comes from my mom, Dr. Fay. It always has to come from somewhere in your family is what I'm saying. You see what I mean? You have to be introduced to it somewhere. So back to the billionaires and the millionaires, hopefully they have somebody like my mom who was just open-minded to whatever. And that's how it was. It was very, very interesting. It's interesting when you look at the personalities. I'm telling you, people, how you deal with your kids today, and your kids are learning, they're sponges, and they learn everything, and they pick up everything. They don't miss a conversation. They even hear in the next room when you're on the phone with somebody, they're listening to your conversation. I know, because I know from my own children, and they hear everything. Whether you want them to hear it or not is not the point. They're going to hear it. Even when you think they're not hearing it, they're hearing it. And so all of this plays into the psyche of the generation and the kids that are coming up. Just be aware of that is all I'm saying. Just everybody make a note and be aware. Be conscious of what you're talking about, who the conversation is with, and what exactly is going on. Listen, I'm aware, I'm conscious, and I'm going to be back in just a moment with more of this on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. My dad was the kind of guy, now Susan, you'll get appreciate this. He was the kind of person that would want to, he worked hard. He was a blue collar, he was a contractor, worked very, very hard. In fact, I did as a young lad, Susan. I used to paint and wallpaper and construction kind of thing. And I did a lot of that as a young kid.
Right.
Because I learned it from dad. You know, this is what he did for a living. But my dad had this fantasy of winning the lottery. He thought his wealth was going to come from winning the lottery. And he talked about it all the time to an incessant point. So every week it was about the lottery tickets and watching for the lottery numbers. I got so anti-lottery, Susan, growing up as a young lad, that I despise it today. I think it's a poor person's game that they sucker people into steal your money. Yeah. So they can steal your buck or two or three or five or ten for some fantasy baloney, malarkey. And I've seen my father do that and put his dreams on one of those, because he wanted to buy people houses and boats and all this possession stuff. And really, really weird. And that was kind of a real weird thing for me growing up. But I don't think that's healthy, Susan. I don't think this whole lottery, this back to the haves and have-nots, Susan, I think I will say this to you, back to the, you know, we're talking about Dr. Faye Linder, about the people who have money who don't. You know, there's a lot of people who run around on the planet today thinking they're owed a living. They think that, well, those people got money, you know, or the doctors. Well, look at the money they're making. You see the house he lives in? Well, no shit. He earned it, you fool. You get off your duff and go get an education for 8-10 years, and then you go out and do this, and you can have it too. It's okay.
Right, but you can choose to live off of a false hope or use your creativity to create a niche for yourself so that you could grow and foster and have a purpose, you know, and become successful.
That's well said,
Susan.
That's
how that works.
That's well said, honey. A false hope and a false sense of security and a false pretentious thing. It's like, ladies, you know, in full disclosure to you, like I love, and Linda, I love to go to Vegas, right? And I haven't been in some years. I went for like 25 years straight. I used to go every year, right? And do you know, in many times as I've been to Vegas, Linda, like, I mean, a lot of times, probably far more than most, you know? Do you know, Linda, if I wrapped up all those years I've been to Vegas, and how much money I would have spent in gambling in the air, like on a slot machine or something, it wouldn't amount to $50, Linda.
Yeah. Well, and that's the way I am. I like to play, but I don't like to spend money. But, you know, Malcolm, one of the things that we are so lucky about in this country that we don't think about, this article that Susan sent about Saudi Arabia is so interesting to me, that they needed to make some money there in Saudi Arabia. So the crown prince, he sort of imprisoned all the billionaires in Saudi Arabia in a Ritz-Carlton hotel, but they were not allowed to leave. And they had to pay their way out with their billions, and all of their money went to the government. So there is no Saudi Arabian on the list of millionaires right now, because the top 10 that were billionaires in Saudi Arabia are no longer billionaires. So really interesting. Wow. What happens in other countries, and how lucky we are in the United States that our government doesn't
Linda, I have to tell Linda, as you're talking about this right now, Susan, Faye, I got to tell you something here. This is really weird. So as Linda's talking about this, okay, did you just now, when she talked about Saudi Arabia locking them up and the money and all that, did you all get a weird feeling over you? Did anybody get a weird feeling?
Yeah.
For real, I'm asking this honest question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Do you know why? Let me tell you why I ask you that. Listen to this. You're going to freak here. As I'm sitting here with you, and this happens a lot of times to me, Faye, you're gonna trip here. But as I'm sitting here with you, and I'm on the recording equipment, and in the paid, the dollars you put into the meter here so that you can make these various calls around the world, if you will, to do these particular shows, right? There's a dollar amount there, okay? And the dollar amount, just click the last three digits of that, as she said that story, Linda, just happened to click to 666.
Get out.
I swear to you, and I seen it right that second. And you know, ladies, I got to tell you, lately, there are some weird things. I'm very serious when I said this is not a conspiracy, but hey, there have been some really weird things over the last, I don't know, I'm going to say month or two. It's happened. This is like the third time that's happened to me. Something weird happened, and I looked around, and there was a 666 close by. Now, what is that all about? Tell me, Dr. Faye.
Well, I'm not sure, but I wanted to elaborate further on Linda.
That's Susan Price. That's not Linda, Dr. Faye. You changed your voice, Susan Price.
This was part of the anti-corruption.
Go ahead.
Well, this was part of the anti-corruption campaign that Linda was talking about.
Right.
With
well, it's part of the devil's work, is my point.
When the 666 came up, it was kind of like a confirmation of sorts.
Well, hell yeah. It's Satan's work. Yeah. Satan's got his hand in all this stuff. Are you kidding me? Anything to do with money and greed. I mean, that's called Satan's bank.
Did you not?
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my view on it. I mean, he's alive and well. I mean, anybody who says there's no evil, well, I know there are people on this platform who think there's no evil, but there's evil. Dr. Faye, opine on that, because I've been seeing the 666 a little bit. Now, what does that mean to me, to Malcolm, please?
Well, to Malcolm, yes, Satan does have his hand in everything that's going on, but so does God, and God has the bigger hand. And regardless of what is going on in this world, it is all because of the shift in the wealth transfer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come without turbulence. You know, you don't give birth without some pains. So something is happening at a very deep level spiritually that is shifting the consciousness of the entire planet. It is shifting the way we see life. It's shifting our government. It's shifting it's strengthening our faith. And it's causing us to dig a little deeper, to draw nigh to God, to put our eyes back up on the main thing and keep the main thing. The main thing is not about money or the political power. It's not about any of these things. What is about at the end of the day is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand on that no matter who says what or believes what. I thought about, you know, all of these billionaires, they died. End of story. They died.
Right.
And what they leave behind to whomever, they will die. And the only thing that really matters is what we're doing with the life, this greater gift, greater than billions of dollars, this greater gift, this is life that we've been given to live.
Right.
And what we do with the little or what we do with the much, we are accountable for it because we're given stewardship over it. Whether it's $1,000 or $1 trillion, mm-hmm. we have the same responsibility to be good stewards over what's been placed in our hands. Want to be frozen and wake up, 100 years later?
We had that show, you know. Didn't we? Didn't we? You said
we
you didn't want to be frozen. I said I'd do it. I said I'd do it. Come back. I'd like to be Malcolm out loud in the year 2118. You bet. You bet. I'd like to look as handsome and debonair and sophisticated.
What year
as...
was that? You said the year of 2018.
2118, love. 2118.
Oh, okay.
Where are we now? 2018, love? Yeah. Get those carrots out of your ears here. You'll hear me, love. So 2118. So, no, I'd like to, Susan, I'd like to wake up in the 2118, get frozen for 100 years, come back and be sophisticated, debonair, and good looking as I am today. Susan, what do you think about that?
Well, you may want to. I don't. I just want to grow my soul, go back to heaven, and stay there, not come back again.
All right, so you're saying that. Well, let me try this again with Linda this time, because you didn't play with me. So, Linda, yes, 100 years from now, 2118, I'd like to wake up being handsome, debonair, and sophisticated as I am today. What do you say about that?
Well, I wish you good luck with that, Malcolm, because I don't know what the world's going to look like in 100 years. So I'll be with Susan in the present.
All right, you still didn't play with me. Dr. Faye, I'm going to go with you now. Now, listen, Dr. Faye, I 100 years from now, I'd like to wake up in 2118 and still be as handsome and debonair and sophisticated as I am today. What do you say about that?
I say you won't be. You won't be as handsome. You go back. Now listen, Malcolm, I was doing a research thing and I looked at pictures from the 1700s and I thought, oh my God, these people look so weird.
Right.
And then 1800s and 1900s, so every 100 years, mm-hmm. you're going to look like they're going to not want you.
We change. Because... Yeah, we change.
That's funny.
They're going to put you back on ice.
You're going to put me back on ice, right? Another cocktail, please, right? Yeah. Okay, Dr. Faye, I'm going to take you out of my will now. I had you in my will. I was leaving you half of my bill.
$3.
I was leaving you half of my debt, love. Half of my debt. So yeah, I got you in my will. Well, what's your will?
Generous of you, Malcolm.
I got a lot of debt there. I'll give you half of it. Okay, good. I'll take that. No, I mean, you got to watch what somebody gives you, huh, in the afterlife.
Yes,
all right, listen. Back to the pharaohs and kings right in the afterlife. Boy, what a time that would have been to be alive, the pharaohs and kings and all that stuff. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to be alive then. It was a weird time and like voodoo shit going on. It's like, that's beyond me, that stuff. You know, ladies, come on. All right, listen, let's get back to the real world here. All right, so what are we talking about? All right, here's the real world. So Bill Gates, your phone rings on Friday morning. Okay, Friday morning, this next coming week, your phone rings. And it's Dr. Fay. It's in your home when the phone rings. And it's Bill Gates' administrator on the other line. And this person says, and he says, is this Dr. Fay Wilson? And she says, yes, it is. And who is this? Very suspicious. And you know, she's got a suspicious voice, ladies, the way she answers you back if she doesn't know who you are when you're talking. She's like, who is this, please? And the administrator would say, well, this is Bill Gates' administrator, you know, Harry Modini or something, you know. And she said, this is not, she's not going to believe it, first of all. And then, of course, he's going to convince her. And then he tells you, Dr. Fay, that Bill Gates would like to talk to you. Bill Gates gets on the line and he says, okay, listen, Dr. Fay, I've been following your work. You're doing amazing work out there. I've got $1 billion coming to you, but you can't spend it on X, Y, or Z, which are bad stuff, you know, narcotics, women, men, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, right?
Not a problem.
What are you going to do with it? So what are you going to do with the money, Dr. Fay?
After I create a trust for it, I'm going to give 10% to charity. I'm going to rebuild charter schools in some of the rural areas in the South, beginning with my hometown, because they have been forced into school consolidation and our kids are riding the bus 2 hours back and forth to get educated. And that's just wrong. So I will fill the gap there and then just really pray about where else to fill the gap in my own backyard before I go and build the schools I want to build in Kenya and Ghana.
Okay. And you know what? The one thing I can say is you would do exactly what you just said.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You are one of the most honorable, principle-driven people I've met, at least in the last 3 hours. Linda Martinelli, that's one of those left-handed compliments, Linda. You know, when you get those, you say, what is he talking about? All right, Linda Martinelli, tell me now, Bill Gates calls you on Monday morning, and he says, okay, Linda Martinelli, I've been following your columns and your articles on America Out Loud. You have a brilliant mind. I love the way you're tackling some of these issues, and I want to give you $1 billion to go out there and spend it, and what would you do with it, please?
Well, I have to say that on this short of notice, I honestly don't know, but my instinct says...
I get it. Bill Gates says you're not getting it then. If you don't know what you're going to do with the money, we're not giving you the money, Miss Martinelli.
Okay. Well, so here's what I'd do, Bill. I would, first of all, I would actually use a little bit of it for myself because I would love to take some trips. So that would be not very much of that. And then I would definitely set up my family. Be very important to me to give each one of my kids a home, and that would leave most of the money left. So with that money, I probably, being a serial entrepreneur, I would do some things in business that would
which
ultimately,
is better than a serial killer, by the way, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Yes, that would ultimately help other people. I love starting a business and making it work and employing people and that whole scenario. And that would still leave a lot of money left over. And then I would really have to think, like Dr. Fay, as to where I would put it that it would do the most value in other people's lives. But, you know, I'm not somebody that would donate it to this or that charity, because I think that most of the charities, the money doesn't go where it needs to go. It goes into administration and not really to the end people that need it. So I would find places to put that money that really helped the people that I want to help, that needed the help, that I could directly impact.
Yeah, you're right when you say that about the administrative. Almost every non-for-profit or these organizations, the administrative costs can eat up a lot of those dollars and those charitable dollars as well. So that is a very big point to bring up. If you're donating money and giving it to those others, you always want to check out how much of that money. And if it's not over 90%, then you want to find another charity. I can tell you that now, because that means too much is going to the top. And that means they're doing other stuff with it, a.k.a. also known as the Clinton Foundation. Okay. All right. Susan Price. Didn't mean to make that political. Excuse me. Susan Price, talk to me on the $1 billion again. Bill Gates calls you and he says, Susan, you're amazing. You gold star mom. You've been through so much. You're investigative. The work you've been doing, the voices, you're a patriot. You want to save everything. The veteran support. By golly, your work is incredible. Here's $1 billion. What are you going to do with it, Susan?
Well, I would set up, I would allocate trust funds and give myself a nice paycheck so I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. because the hard work that I would be doing would be throwing the ball back into his court and cleaning up his mess on the vaccines, human depopulation, and other things as Agenda 21
Now you're not going to tell Bill that. You're not going to tell Bill that because he ain't going to give you the money then, right?
Oh no, okay, no. Okay. I'm general moms, and I don't operate that way. You go in when they're not. But I would also provide for a lot of the men and women that have been taken from us through these wars, mm-hmm. and the other side of war, which are the Gold Star families, and I would bring in people that really care and have a passion, as everyone on this call does, to do the right thing and, you know, grow your soul for humanity instead of being part of the problem. So, yeah, I can do that.
Hmm. And all right.
I've been kind of doing some of that work without getting a paycheck. So,
sure you have. Well, you're right.
I would love to get the paycheck.
Yeah, well, you put a lot into the end game, all of you do. But again, this example of what we just shared with you, friends, continues to show you the extraordinary mindset of the women here. So it is beyond amazing, life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure, and the women. And it really has become a movement of women. It's become a movement of strong leaders and people who mean well and want to do great things in the world. We actually have a whole house full of these amazing people back at AmericaOutloud.com. We have worldly columnists, we have show hosts, and we have all kinds of extraordinary authors and speakers and just amazing people, analysts, all kinds of folks back there. So check us out there. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do with my $1 billion that Gates calls me and he says, okay, Mr. Malcolm, been watching you and the work you've been doing, and here's, I'm going to give you $2 billion. No, I'm only kidding. I'm going to give you $1 billion. Yeah, what are you going to do with this? So what I would do very clearly, I mean, I know where the money goes before even having to think about it. So I would take $100 million and I would put it into a think tank. I want to create a national think tank. So I would take $100 million, put it in a think tank. What the think tank is, a whiteboard exercise that we would do on a regular basis, on an annual basis. Every 6 months, we'd bring in some of the best minds. This is not political now, this is non-political. This is going to be big thinkers, people who can solve some of the problems that our politicians are unable to solve or unwilling to solve. You pick it. Whether it's, again, education, healthcare, poverty, all these kinds of things that are near and dear to the human race. So my key is to have a think tank so we can create bright minds. And I want to document all that information. I want to put it into a journal. I want to be able to take the journal. I want to be able to send it to all of the business publications and to our governments. I want to send it to the president and the governors and the others. And it becomes a very exclusive publication, and we probably provide that on an annual basis for this think tank and big-minded people, again, that provide answers that are totally across all spectrums. It's more about the human race. That's one thing that's very important to me. The other thing is to create a worldwide foundation that raises the consciousness. It raises the awareness out there. This is going to take big money, but this is to tackle things like human trafficking. It's to take things like rape and mayhem and all the things that are happening in our race today that are horrific, that are part of the 666 caliber. That's what these are all part of. So my idea is to tip some of that over, and these are two fundamental things that I will be doing with my resources on America Out Loud. You can watch for that, friends. This isn't a fairy tale. It's not a Monopoly game, and it's not the lottery. But this is where we will be going. It's a worldwide foundation and a think tank here in America to make a difference. And with that, we continue on with a legacy here of brilliance here at America Out Loud. Thank you, friends, for being part of this journey today here. Susan Price, Dr. Faye Wilson, Linda Martinelli. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.